Hey everyone, this is day 20 of August Wisdom, 31 episodes in 31 days in August, and today we're going to be talking about why prayer is real. This is a Deep Psychology podcast. I'm Ross Edwards, author, coach, podcaster, and avid practitioner and teacher of psychology and spirituality. In listening to this podcast, you're part of the worldwide Deep Psychology community of tens of thousands of people undertaking profound personal transformation. You can find me on Spotify and Apple, where I release new episodes every Thursday. If you dig what I do and want to help the show grow, share this with a friend and leave a review. You can also go deeper with this work by training with me at deep-psychology.com. Let's get started. So this topic has come up in my coaching sessions recently. It's been a theme for several clients of mine, and it just seems like a really fitting episode topic for today. Just to say as well that I do have a special offer on for August, 25% off my block of 10 coaching sessions for the month of August. So if you'd like to check that out, please head to the link in the description. So today we're going to talk about why prayer is real. And the reason I'm framing it like this is because basically a lot of people are very skeptical of prayer, especially once they become rational and scientific in their development. They become very skeptical of it and they say, well, who are you talking to at the end of the day? Who are you asking these questions to? Who are you asking for guidance and help? Aren't you just making it up? Aren't you just speaking to yourself? Isn't this just wishful thinking? You know, aren't you just concocting the answers yourself? And if you're having these questions, and I know that people have these questions because a lot of us have some form of spiritual life, but it's been kind of repressed and driven out by our rationality. And what I'm here to say is that prayer is real. You are speaking to God with nuances, so that you have to kind of know how to distinguish, but prayer is definitely real and you are not just making it up. I myself would have been very skeptical of what I'm saying right now about 10 years ago because I wasn't brought up in a religious background. And in my teenage years, I was very much into science and mathematics, and I was sort of a fanboy of Stephen Hawking and these other leading public scientists. And I've really loved hearing their criticisms and their proofs against religion, kind of got a high off of it. And it wasn't until my early 20s when I had a lot of deep experiences of the divine. And I continue to, as I'm moving into my 30s now, and my spiritual life just gets richer and richer. I would have been very skeptical, and now I pray on a regular basis. I do not need anyone to tell me that it's real because I know that it's real. And I'm not talking here from a fundamentalist perspective. You know, I'm not going to be sitting here telling you what to say to God. I'm not going to be sitting here saying that if you don't pray, you're a sinner or you're going to hell. I'm not going to say that you need to be a Christian even. You don't even have to use the word God if you have a lot of baggage around that. It's prayer to the divine, like speaking to the divine, you could say. One thing I want to sort of say is that God is everything. And so people look at the question of speaking to God and they say, well, how can you possibly speak to God? And how can God possibly speak to you? It doesn't make any sense because, you know, God is this abstract principle. God is something that's beyond us. It's far out. It's not, though. It's God is absolutely everything, okay? And God is, God includes other people and other things and places and everything. God includes the possibility of an other that can respond to you, right? because God is absolutely everything. So that's one thing. You know, even your friends and your family, of course, they are God. They speak to you. They are God. So why, you know, God, an inherent part of God is the second person relationship, the possibility of having relationship to it. And that is expressed, you can find that in prayer, but you also find that in your relationships. And from another point of view, I'd also like to say that God is unconditional love. So, and this is one of the main things you can use to distinguish whether you are authentically speaking to God or whether you are getting confused and you haven't quite developed a relationship or a taste for it. God is unconditional love, right? And when you pray, when you speak to God and when they respond, it responds. It feels like unconditional love. And this is one of the reasons that prayer is real. And when you really pray, you won't be in any doubt that it's real, because this unconditional love is the most powerful love you will probably experience in your life, because it's utterly unconditional and it's felt. It's something you feel deep inside, something that touches you very deep. And it leaves you in no doubt that God is real. So what is the process of prayer like for me, and how do I sort of teach it to people? Well, basically, we structure it around a kind of theme, right? So it's asking for guidance, it's asking for help, it's asking for clarity. You know, what should I do about this situation? What's going to happen? What do I do next? Can you guide me in the right direction? These kinds of questions. I don't want to give you too many examples because I don't want to precondition you, but these are the kind of things you can ask. And basically the process of prayer is seeing these things and waiting to receive an answer. So once you've dropped a question or a query or something that you want to ask, you're goal is really to open up and receive an answer and try not to impose an answer. Okay. Now, what can often happen in prayer, and this is why people are skeptical of it, is because you can essentially be just, you're not really talking to God. You're kind of just talking to yourself. Now you might say, well, you are God, right? That's true. But this unconditional love responds in a certain way, and if your answer is not based on unconditional love, it is not God that you are speaking to. It's not God that is responding to you. Okay, so the answer should always be in a form of unconditional love, and if it's not, it's not God you're speaking to. Now, you have to be careful about what unconditional love means. It doesn't mean that if, say, you've done something wrong and you ask for guidance to God for guidance, it doesn't mean that it's going to condone things. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have a moral thing to it. In fact, your own level of moral development will probably determine what you will hear in return. But that's another topic. What a good way of approaching this is to kind of think of God as sort of like a very loving parent that is not punitive, but it's also not going to BS you. I know that sounds very crude, but it doesn't mean that it's never going to ask things of you or challenge you. I've worked with people who've been challenged by God and their connection to it was very strong, but they were challenged, okay? So it's got this loving quality, but loving doesn't mean just condoning everything and, everything's okay. That's not quite. It's something you feel. You can feel this unconditional love behind it in a way that you maybe won't feel from anyone else in your life, because people's love is often not unconditional. And this unconditional love has a certain flavor to it, all right? And to me, that is really how we test, you know, is it actually God we're speaking to? And I'd say, well, God is unconditional love. Right. So if you get an answer that's based on unconditional love, and this is something you train, you sort of developed a taste for it, then you are speaking to God and you're conversing with God. And because of that, the answer is usually loving. It's positive, it's encouraging, not always just condoning, as I said, and not just saying, well, everything's okay. That can often be an answer, but not always. It's got this loving presence to it. It's got this wisdom to it, wisdom that is just very clear and cutting in a positive way, and it is beyond what you're normally able to access. What I'd also say is that there's no difference between speaking to God and speaking to yourself in another sense, because what we can also say is that God is our higher self. This is something that is widely known in any developmental models that cover it, that God is actually a higher nature, right? So this sort of apparent conundrum between, well, are we speaking to God, or are we just speaking to ourselves, or are we just BSing? What I'd say is that when you really speak to God, you're essentially speaking to your higher self, your wisest self, your most loving self. So you are speaking to yourself, you're just speaking to the higher self, as opposed to the lower self. When you speak to the lower self, you get all this fear and all this anxiety and all these sort of very partial answers that aren't really based on unconditional love, right? So God is everything. God is your higher self, and God is unconditional love. And these three things come together in a way that might not make a lot of rational sense, but they make sense once you experience the love of God. Okay? And just another point I want to make is that past a certain point in your development, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably past that point already, you aren't really attracted to people telling you what to pray. You know, you want to have a more personal relationship to this work. And so my advice is basically to ask the questions that seem most fitting for you at this moment in time, and not to make it a mechanical thing. You know, if you have a certain question that you love to ask and you feel like you get a lot of clarity every time you ask it, or you center your prayer around it, then that's fine. But also try and avoid it just becoming a repetitive act that loses the kind of wonder behind it. And sometimes, you know, I'm very much about daily routines and all the rest of it, but sometimes with prayer, it's not really that. It's not like that. It would kind of like seeing a lover every single day. It can lose a bit of its spark if you see them too often, right? This can kind of happen when you pray. If you do it in a mechanical way, like doing it every single day or asking the same questions every time in the same order and all the rest of it, it can become quite mechanical. I'd also say that it is something you need to practice. If you've never prayed before, it might feel strange, it might feel foreign, it might feel like you're really not connecting with it. But there's a balance to be struck, and I really encourage you to try and find a balance and to personalize it to you. I'm not going to tell you what you want to ask, because I don't know about your life. I don't know who you are, unless you work with me one-to-one. It needs to be a personal thing, right? And any advice needs to be tailored to you, I think, very specifically. All right, so that's why prayer is real. If you have any questions, please leave a comment and I'll do my best to answer. Remember to check out my coaching offer for this month. And if you're interested, please head to the website for more information. Thanks a lot for joining me, and I'll see you tomorrow for the next episode in August Wisdom. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review and share with a friend. And if you'd like to go deeper, head to deep-psychology.com to join my training. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.